fucking thing sucks! This is five fucking stars!
Hey there, kittens and cats. Hi. Hi, I'm Mike Coughlin. And this is whatever I call the show, the walkabout, the five star. There. I got nothing to talk about, but I'm walking dogs. However, I do know that this will be a longer edition of the program, because it was originally going to come out on Friday, but you're hearing it on Sunday, if you're listening to this at all. I'm actually recording it on Friday, and the second half of this, This is where I talk all about how important the Cubs are to Chicago and all that. I was going to put that out on Friday, because I'm like, shit, there's nothing to go do on Friday. Then I realized there was a Bellator show and some other stuff. I'm like, well, fuck that. And Saturday's UFC. Sunday, there's nothing really going on. And I have a show for Monday, which I think has to go out on Monday, because after Tuesday, everything's going to change. Like, we're going to have like a lot of things to talk about, wherever, whenever, with whomever. Because we're of the election, and I can regale you with my brilliant knowledge of nothing there. Like, I'll have jack shit to fucking offer. We'll have a lead up to UFC 205. Grady and I will be doing that, I'm sure. That's going to be a big one. You know, you may have heard. I guys are going to rant about fucking press conferences. Not press conferences, I should say. Media calls. I get that. I know why they do them, and I guess it probably does, it gets the media itself, it just lets them know what's going on, and they get some bullshit quotes. It's just making their job easier. But fuck me. God damn, I wish they would just get rid of those things. I don't even do them. I would get invited, but I'm not going to do it. There's nothing to ask. Like, maybe there's a good question every once in a while. But the guys are both on the telephone. They can barely hear. Half the time we got these fuckers from Ireland or England and over the telephone with a static and their accent. You don't know what the fuck they just said. And it just sucks. And they ask these boring questions. Like the last one just happened. Got up on the site, halfcredit.com. Of course, with the Connor and Eddie Alvarez. Usually, you know, these things, Connor is usually entertaining, right? I mean, like 15 minutes, I'm like, this is boring as shit. And of course, the first question from Jack Encarnacio, who I think used to write with the Observer and Sure Dog, he's got like a real newspaper job. He's not bad or anything, but his first question was like, Connor, the talk is that you're going to be taking 2017 off. Is this a negotiating tactic? Well, I think he even said along lines of like, is this really just a way to get the UFC to offer you more money? Well, if it was, would he really say it? Like, it only works, presuming that's true, and we have no idea if it's true or not. Connor even kind of said, like, that he doesn't know if he can actually take time off and so on and so forth. He's got some announcement planned. Nobody knows what the fuck it is. So I can't imagine it's actually that big. Like, if nobody knows what it is, how big of an announcement is it? It's obviously not something like he's setting up his own promotion or anything. He could retire, I guess. Or take time off. But that'd be weird. I don't think he's benefited if he publicly tells people he's taking time off. If he just takes some time off, that's great. But that's something you'd say in private. And you would tell Dana, you'd be like, look, you know, I'm burned out. I've had like 15 fights in 3 days. As he's want to do. Oh, come here, boys. Oh, good boys, you didn't kill. But, it's always the best thing to say when you walk past someone. Good boys for not killing anybody. Don't run out on the street and get killed yourself, you idiot. But, like, if it is, like, if he did actually say that, he said, I'm taking 2017 off, and he's really doing it because he wants him to up how much money he's going to get paid per fight or some shit like that. Well, he's not going to tell them that. You can't bluff and tell the person you're bluffing. Like, it's just stupid. It's just a dumbass question. Like, he's not going to say, yeah, you know what, it is. I'm just trying to get more money. Well, of course he's trying. First of all, he's always trying to get more money. He doesn't make that a secret. And he wouldn't have to say, I don't know. It's just stupid. And all the other questions are just as, usually they're just as dumb or just as pointless. And you hear him. So I'm like, it's not awful, but it's one of the things, like, I'm actually somewhat proud of the interviews I do when I do them, because I think that I tend to ask questions that aren't the same old boring shit. Whereas, you know, everybody else, you know, so how did you get started? And stuff like that. Sorry, I'm just watching the dog poop. Come on. But, you know, it's like, how do you feel before this fight? Or my favorite, can you talk about? It's not a question. That's, why don't you just say, give me a quote. That's what you're really saying. You say, talk about the fight. You're just saying, give me a quote. Okay. Thought that somebody's dog was loose. Fuck off. How lazy are you? Do my job for me. What I want you to do is I want you to say something interesting. I'm not going to give you anything prompting to say. I just want you to say it. So basically, ask yourself a question and then answer. Talk about your training for the fight. Nothing specific. Like, don't ask them, did you bring in somebody specific for this fight? Do you have, you know, a game plan or whatever? I mean, there's a little bit of that. Somebody asked Eddie Alvarez, and I thought it was an okay question about, like, do you train different because you're defending the title now? Is there more pressure? And Alvarez actually had a pretty good answer, a level-headed one. Something you would expect people to say. You don't expect people to say it, but he did say it, and I liked it, which was, I don't think of myself as defending a belt. He basically didn't even acknowledge a belt. It's like, my job is just to go out there and fight. My job is not to defend a belt. Which, I think that is a right mindset to have. It's also a little bullshit, because he bitched and moaned about how he wanted a title shot, right? Yeah, I know. So, yeah, it's just a waste. UFC 205 itself will, I don't know. It's tough to tell how the show will be. How the show will be. Sound like an idiot. Just as far as Conor's fight will be entertaining. Him and the Eddie stylistically match up. And just Conor's at that point now where no matter what he does, his fights will have drama. They'll be entertaining. Even if he gets wrestle humped, there's still every round they're going to stand up and he's going to throw punches and things like that. Joanna's fight. Joanna, I don't know. We'll see. She should probably win. She's beaten Carolina before, actually, in an amateur fight. I think she won by submission, of all things. But, you know, and Tyron Woodley. I don't know. Come here, you idiot. You can't go there. Woodley and Thompson, Wonderboy. I mean, Stephen Thompson is historically fun just because of all the stuff he does. Woodley, he can do okay. Obviously he's had some great fights. Yeah, that fight with Nate Marquardt back in Strikeforce, which was just incredible, even though he lost. But he's also somebody that can wrestle, fuck you, or can be boring. And he comes from the mindset of, I don't mind being boring. And there, I think some people misunderstand that. Well, actually, I don't know if they do, but there are people that, you know, the only thing that matters is winning. I'm one of those people, actually, when I compete, which I haven't done in months. Like, to me, I just want to win. I don't care, but it doesn't matter. I'm a fucking, you know, gymnasiums, you know, Chicago, oh, what's the fuck, Chicago City or whatever the fuck it is on the south side, where they, Chicago State, I think, yeah, where most IBJJFs are held. Nobody's watching, nobody gives a shit, so if I just hump my way to a victory, double win, I get to hump a man. If you're on TV, it is a little different, but more than that, it's, the nature of the sport lends itself to just winning by a single kind of dominant technique, which is just kind of boring. Boxing kind of has it with jabs, but really, boxing, you're supposed to punch someone in the head. So there's always, you know, no matter what you do, you're punching a man in the head. There's a chance he might get knocked out. You know, even the lightest hitters, you know, occasionally probably clip somebody just right. And, you know, jiu-jitsu doesn't have that. It does have the submission, but certain guys, you know, MMA kind of punishes you if you're aggressive with your submissions, unless you're super great. Because, you know, otherwise you're just usually giving up position and things of that nature. It's funny that I'm doing this. You know, fuck, man, I should probably, I don't know, because Grady and I are going to have to do 205. And that should probably take up most of our time. Be weird to just review. I don't know. Maybe I'll be reviewing the UFC and shit. Maybe it'll be later on in the show before I even know it. Or earlier you already heard it. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. So yeah, again, Woodley, he's someone that will just, I think most guys, you know, when the push comes to shove, they'll do whatever they can to win. And especially at that high level with that much money on the line, if Conor could just lay on someone for 5 minutes at the very end, he would do it if it helped him win. And you saw, you know, when he fought Nate the second time, he had his moments where he ran around to reset himself to increase his chances of winning. That wasn't the thing to do for the most exciting fight. The most exciting thing would be to just stand there and throw and go down. But he didn't. He fought smarter. But nonetheless, Conor's style, at least initially, is one of punishment. It's a finisher style. Woodley's not a finisher. He's, you know, he'll throw hard punches, but on the ground he doesn't advance his position a lot. He's not really all that adept at submissions. He ground and pounds conservatively, but he's never shown that aptitude for just that crazy, scary ground and pound some guys have. So yeah, I mean, that fight could be boring. You know, you could easily see, three decisions in the last three fights of the show. And, you know, I mean, the rest of it, it's got a lot of fights on paper that they're kind of names. But sometimes with names, it's important to kind of keep in the back of your mind why guys are exciting and how, you know, styles make fights. It was a November fight with Frankie Edgar years ago. I think it was him versus Clay Guida. And on paper, it looks really exciting. Like, they both have had really fun fights and all this. And it ended up not being so, because Frankie just kind of out-wrestled him and didn't go crazy. And what looked like on paper is like, wow, this could be amazing. It wasn't so great. Even though, on their own, Clay tends to have exciting fights, and Frankie tends to have exciting fights. You look like, you know, Frankie Edgar and Jeremy Stephens, that should be a pretty fucking good fight. Stephens should be able, I think I'm breaking down UFC 205 on a 20-minute, like, intro thing where I was just going to talk about nothing. I can't stop myself, can I? God damn, I'm great. I'm kind of surprised that the UFC isn't doing more for Fight Week in New York. And again, Fight Week isn't here yet, so who knows? But, and I know you don't want to do an international fight week multiple times a year, but, and I guess they're kind of handicapped in that you also wouldn't want to, book a show the Friday night before, because you want the first ever legalized show in New York to be UFC 205, not UFC Fight Night, UFC Ultimate Fighter Finale or something like that. But still, it seems like all they're doing is the fights. But there's no, it doesn't seem like there's any ceremonies. They could do a quick, I don't know, again, yeah, they set it all up for every July for everything to be big in July. Which is good. I like it. It makes it special. I'm actually going to be very interested going forward how the company treats New York. Because, you know, yes, New York is a big market. You can make a lot of money there. Madison Square Garden is obviously a big deal. But it's also an expensive market. You know, MSG itself costs a lot of money to run. WWE doesn't run it all that often for that reason. It's tough to make, you can actually make more money, I think, going to Brooklyn and such than you can at MSG. And just the cost of New York in general, between the hotels and airfare there is, that's one big thing, is cheap. But the hotels are expensive and transportation. And again, and it's always been a Vegas-based company. And after Vegas, it's a West Coast-based company. And I think it'll continue to be, because WMEI, REI, whatever, new owners, I believe that, you know, they're Los Angeles, Hollywood types. Not to say that they ignore the East Coast. But, I don't know, it's weird. Like, I can't imagine them doing Fight Week anywhere but Vegas, because it's just so set, it's set up so perfectly. That's the great thing about Las Vegas. It's just, I mean, if you look at it on paper, it's like, this is fucking perfect. This is how you would design a town for what they do. Sex and violence and gambling and debauchery. New York is a real city. It's the famous city with a big city, and MSG is a big deal, and I'm sure they'll keep doing big fights there. And I would think that if I'm them, I would say, you keep MSG special. I would say run shows at the Barclays Center. It's a really nice center arena. I like the area around there. It's really nice. Am I a hipster? Because I like the part of Brooklyn I saw. I don't know. But MSG. I would say Ronda, presumably she fights after Nunez. I think her next fight should be in MSG, especially if she wins the title. That'll be that's something you can sell. And anything that's kind of approaches super duper special mainstream should be in MSG. You know, your regular fight, like if you have like just say Anderson Silva versus Nick Diaz. No need for that to be an MSG, maybe even in New York. That's a great fight for Vegas. It's a fight fans fight. Do well in pay-per-view. But it's not necessarily something that's going to cross over into the exclusive crossover audience, which Conor does somewhat, but Ronda does way more than even Conor. Like, it's become very apparent to me over the past year plus doing the site on my own and really looking at how things work. And we've only had one Ronda fight during the existence of HalfCredit.com. I'm sorry, two. We had two. We had the Betch-Kohea fight. We were just kind of getting our feet wet and didn't really understand. But when Ronda lost to Holly Holm, I know at the time it was the biggest day in the history of the site. It's no longer the biggest day in the history of the site because we've diversified so much. We have a lot more content that brings in regular readers and hits, clicks, and all that shit. But, I know that, for instance, that fight, as far as views and hits or clicks or whatever I'm supposed to say, I always think it's saying hits, but I guess it's not, I guess it's page views, man, I don't know. That was above the Conor versus UFC 194, Conor and Jose Aldo. And that fight was, you know, massive and huge, and I was in Vegas, and we did good business for that. It did well. And in fact, we had kind of figured out with Ronda, that fight, kind of part of our marketing strategy and how to push things. And it worked for her, and we tried it with Conor fight. And again, it worked very well, but it wasn't as big. I think that our record now for UFC, for views or whatever, is Conor and Nate 2. Both Conor fight. I mean, Conor does big numbers anyways, but Ronda, I think she just draws from such a diverse crowd. And maybe as someone running a website, it's not totally accurate because, one, the numbers haven't actually played out that way. She is not drawn on pay-per-view as big as Conor has. I mean, she's drawn huge numbers, and I think she'll draw even bigger going forward. But she hasn't drawn these crazy big numbers like Conor has. But she's been out for a year during a clear boom period. One that she started and is part of. So, I don't know. And I think the return with Nunez would do great. I think it would have done bigger with Holly Holm or Misha Tate, but hey, that was Ronda's choice. She lost out. I think she cost herself whatever portion she'd get out of anywhere from 200,000 to 500,000 buys. But again, Ronda is such a different level of star. And it's because of she crosses over. Everybody in MMA knows her. They're all going to watch her. They all have an opinion one way or the other. But it's that non-mainstream stuff that she gets. And I'm not talking ESPN. Connor can get all the ESPN talk she wants. But, you know, Ronda's on Ellen. I don't know why she was on Ellen, but she was on Ellen. I don't think Connor's on Ellen. He does some media like that, but Ronda does a lot more. Because it's the female demographic and that. But, like, you know, Ronda was on Ellen, and she's talking about, like, she's only got a few fights left. We talked about it, but more than that, when, come here, boys. Come here. You idiots. Go. Get. But yeah, more than that, it was, you know, the next day I turned ESPN, and it was all over ESPN. It was like one of their just sort of normal, like, talking points. And I'm sure if Connor said it, there'd be some talk in the same way. But Ronda, because she's such a genuine trailblazer, it's framed differently. Like, if Connor came out and said, "That's it, I'm retiring after this fight," it would be talked about. It would be big news. But, you know, it wouldn't be the biggest news ever or anything like that. Whereas if Ronda says that, everybody's going to discuss it because Ronda's legacy is historical in nature and Connor's isn't. I mean, Connor's is, just as far as how much money he's made. And he's got that Floyd Mayweather... Mickey, get up. Move your foot. Yeah. You know, he's got that Floyd Mayweather type of drawing power right now, but Ronda, just because of who she is as a female and what she's done and the dominance, and it's unparalleled in sports history, and there will never be anything like it again, ever. There will never be anybody like Ronda Rousey ever in MMA. I know saying ever is a dangerous game to be playing when it comes to people and fighting, but I mean ever. There can only be one first. And she was the first female star they had. It's time for doggies to get fed. And doggies like getting fed, don't they? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Oh, doggies like getting fed. Oh, yeah. But, you know, not only was she the first one to cross over, but the sheer dominance she showed really caught everybody's eye. I mean, yeah, she was pretty. She's had her charisma. She's kind of controversial at times. But it was really comes down to the dominance. She was a fucking Mike Tyson with tits. Not big tits, but still tits. And, you know, frankly, if Connor had been doing that, and he kind of did a little bit, but if Connor had gone out and basically in every one of his fights, he had been beating people in 30 seconds while he talked all this trash, okay. If somebody else does that, I could see it in the future, that person being big. But just with Ronda, with being the first female to do that, you know, there'll be big female stars, but it'll be difficult to ever say that there ever will be a female fighter as dominant as Ronda. It's going to be difficult to say that there's any fighter, period, in MMA as dominant as Ronda was. She had the loss. And if she loses again and then quits, you just be like, well, that is the end of her career or whatever. But your all-time great champions for the men, Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre, be number one and two, and, you know, BJ Penn and all them, they were dominant. They were in a different level from their peers in their prime. Fucking, I mean, BJ Penn had his run there when he dropped down to lightweight and started running through Joe Stevenson and Sean Sherk and all them were... I mean, nobody was even close to him. And I've always thought it was funny because he lost a fight in Abu Dhabi to Frankie Edgar. A fight I thought he won. And then he lost the second one, which was also close. And that was always, you know, that was the beginning of the end for him. But if he had won the fight against Frankie, maybe he fought someone else who was a better stylistic matchup. And he'd still be talked about reverently or something like that. And St. Pierre, just pure dominance, but it was boring at times. He had his jabbing fights. Anderson Silva had his fuck arounds. But Ronda just blitzed people. I mean, she just beat people up in a way that shit doesn't happen. Mike Tyson did it, and that's why I bring in the Mike Tyson analogy. But in MMA, Vitor Belfort, when he burst on the scene, did it to about four or five people, but then it kind of got exposed. And Vitor's kind of always been on and off with that shit. Get up in the bed. Go, come on. Good boy. I encourage my dog to get on my bed. One of the dogs. But yeah, MMA, the sport itself, it doesn't happen that way. There's too many things going on. But with her, with the grappling, though, that's even crazier. And I think that's actually part of the mystique of Ronda Rousey, is that it's not that she beat everybody, but she tapped them out. She hit the Betchko Hale was a knockout, yes. And kind of Alexa Davis. But for the most, even then, she was using judo. She was a dominant, unstoppable force using grappling. And grappling really doesn't lend itself that way. Like, you just don't see that ever in jiu-jitsu. That one guy goes out there and beats everybody in his field in 30 seconds. You'll have guys who are dominant, who can't be beat for a while, post problems, who have great runs for a year or two. You even have the Gabby Garcia types, win forever. But she's not like, nobody's getting points scored on her. But she's not, herself isn't so overwhelming with them. And again, the pure jits guys, you have Jean Gilbert and some of them who are just outstanding, who've been great for so long. But they've lost here and there. And when they win at the highest levels, they're not tapping people out real quick. Like I said, the sport doesn't lend itself that way. You put me in a grappling match with a world-class black belt, if I wanted to, I could probably last 30 seconds. It would be tough, because when those guys, if they really wanted to, just to dive on things, it would be tough. But I think, especially in no-gi, IBJJF rules, I think I could last longer than 30. I bet I could get up to a minute. Because, I've rolled with guys who are at that level, and I did fine. They didn't tap me out that many times. They weren't going super hard or anything. But even if they are going super hard, I know just enough how to tie people up and just kind of stall. And I'm no great, I'm a mid-30s fucking loser. It's not like I'm great or anything. But just, again, the nature of the beast is you can just always pull guard and hold onto a leg. I can just pull half guard pretty well, just hold onto that half real hard, real tight for a while. Like, you can tie someone up. So, and you can do that in MMA, too. So the idea that she fucking was beating people. Think about this. And this puts it in perspective for you. Ronda Rousey's run of dominance was all submission and grappling based, and she was beating people quicker than Mickey Gall beat CM Punk. That's a really good fucking line. So if you're the one of the three listening to this and you see me write it, you'll remember where you were that day when you heard it. Because that's how my writing is. It's so important. It changes your life forever. Fuck you. I got nothing. I'm just rambling now. I don't need to. We've got like an hour of content here for this show. So enjoy it. Or it's a half an hour and there's another half an hour tomorrow. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe this does come after the Cup. Maybe the Cup stuff aired yesterday on Saturday. Maybe I decided to do that. Yeah, I probably did. This is a Sunday show. So, but it doesn't talk about what happened on the weekend. You'll get to that in a couple days. And we're going to do big shit. Oh, it's going to be a big day. Big week. We have a new leader of the free world. And something, the biggest show maybe of all time in MMA. So yeah, next week should be important if you're someone like me who likes MMA and wants the election to be over. Fuck, do I want it to be over? It's really weird to see the ads coming out. They've just kind of come out in the past couple of weeks here in Illinois. Maybe about 2 weeks now, because Illinois, it's not a swing state. Doesn't matter, so we don't get any of the national money. And the local guys really can't afford to run ads for more than, I think, about a week or two. Even, like, people running for Senate. The Mark Kirk seat up for grabs with Tammy Duckworth. I think that they've been in just the month of October, because even running for Senate of Illinois, you can't afford to run ads nonstop
like Trump and Hillary have been doing. Well, really, Hillary. Trump has run very few ads. And I actually am thinking about that because I was thinking about like how to attack Hillary because I'm just bored. I'm not voting for her. And I ain't voting for Trump. I just can't do it. Even if I agreed with everything Trump says, and I basically politically don't agree with very much of his statements, because he's not very sincere in anything, and the things I think he's somewhat sincere on, I disagree with him on. But he's, you know, it's very easy to attack Hillary for being a liar. And because she lies over dumb shit. You know, all you have to do is look at her and be like, you said that you were under fire in Bosnia. That was a lie. You said that you were in New York City on 9/11. That was a lie. You said that you were named after Sir Edmund Hillary, even though you were born years before he was known to anybody after he scaled Mount Everest. That's a lie. And you don't have to bring up anything controversial. You don't have to say, like, you know, you lied about your support for NAFTA or whatever, you know, anything political where it's kind of like wishy-washy things where you go, well, you say she lied, but I really think she evolved her position or whatever. Like, some of the things are just, they're just lies for the sake of lying. There's no point to them. I was named after Sir Edmund Hillary. It sounds like something really fun. And in her defense, maybe somebody told her that. This just tells me, frankly, you know, if somebody told me I was named after him, I'd say, his name is Edmund, and I'm Michael. How did that work? But, you know, it would be kind of a neat thing, but it'd be really weird. Like, why the fuck would anybody from the north side of Chicago name their kid after Sir Edmund and Hillary? But it's just little dumb things like that, which I think you can argue easily argue, point to a larger character deficit, where she just is a liar, and she'll lie to on little things, because it makes her... Because they sound like they're nice little things, and because they're not important, and everybody kind of does this a little bit, but they're not needed. You don't need to lie about them. I mean, that's why I've never really understood politicians that lie about little things like that. You're a fucking politician. You're Hillary Clinton. You don't need to lie about any of your upbringing, really. You're running for president. You're likely to be the first female president of the United States. You're the first major party, candidate, female candidate on a major party as president. It happened in 84 before with vice presidency. And obviously in 2008 with Sarah Palin as vice president. But, you know, you've been a senator from New York and you've been secretary of state. These are big fucking deals. Being first lady don't mean jack shit. That just means that I would say in anybody else's case, you just suck the right guy's dick. But that is not an accomplishment to be first lady. Now, maybe you, and I know Hillary actually tried to make the first ladyship, if you will, into kind of like a little cabinet level position. And she was going to push through healthcare. That was her deal. In 1992, it was, you know, two for the price of one. And boy, did that backfire. And they backed off that hard. But again, she doesn't need to, you know, exaggerate certain little things like that. I was in Bosnia. I was getting shot at. I was there at 9/11. But it's one, it's so easy to prove otherwise. And you're running for office. It's one thing, like that dude from the comedian, I think he's on The League, that said like he was in 9/11 in New York City when he wasn't. And he just said like, basically, like, I don't know why I lied. But that is something I could see somebody lying about. In the same way that Hillary, I could see somebody lying about, I was named after Sir Edmund Hillary, because it's an unimportant, nobody cares. It's kind of a nice little anecdote. But these are people who don't expect to have their facts checked, because nobody cares. Whether he was or wasn't, he's a fucking actor on TV. No one gives a shit if he fucking lied. He looks like a douchebag for saying that he was there for 9/11, but at the end of the day, whatever. But you're running for office, and yes, all politicians lie, but hers are just, you're somebody that should expect to be, have that stuff called on you. It's like, fucking, what's his face? Brian Williams lying about all the combat experience he saw. Just flat out lied about shit. Just made it up. Even got suspended from his job. Fired, I think, eventually, because Chicago's own Lester Holt got the position. And it's similarly, I think it's kind of, Donald Trump's almost like the opposite. Well, it's kind of similar in that, like, I don't think you need to find, you don't need to exaggerate things about Hillary Clinton if you want to attack her. Just like with Trump. People are just making shit up. Oh, yeah, and this will be talked about on Monday's show. But you know, oh, he raped this kid, or he did that, he did that, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you don't need to do that. And all you do with Donald Trump when you exaggerate facts or you invent shit and claim that he did is make everything else seem not as bad. And it's Donald Trump. You don't need to dig up dirt, as we've seen. All you need to do is go through the fucking archives of his TV appearances. That's it. He says shit on his own. I keep seeing the commercial, and it's a great commercial from Hillary. Most of the stuff that she quotes is just flat-out Trump quotes. They're great. It's like, are you fucking idiot? And when he's mocking a reporter, going, and moving around. I'm like, dude, you can't be president when you act like that. You just look like a fucking idiot. Like, just, there is something to the gravitas bullshit that never existed until Al Gore ran for office. And they're like, he has gravitas, and George W. Bush does not. I don't care what anybody says. We're lucky to have W as president instead of Al Gore. Al Gore's such a dork. What a loser. Like, did you really want Al Gore as president? This is the kind of guy that would, I guarantee you, he was the one that said, teacher, you didn't give us homework. He was the guy that was very strict and said, no talking during study hall, and, you know, and shit like that. It's just, what a dork. But, yeah, you don't need to lie about Trump. And when you do lie, and people say, hey, that's not true, it calls into question everything else you're saying. Same with Hillary. Like, and Hillary's weird because there's so much smoke around her that it's kind of like the Bill Cosby thing. Where it's like one or two women accuse you, you're flying, whatever. When it's like 50, you go, what the fuck, 50? Huh? With all very similar, unique stories. Like the shit about Trump, all these women coming forward. Yeah, there's a number of women, and in theory, the more people that come forward, the more credible it is. But, they're all very generic. Oh, yeah, he tried to grope me. Like, all the ones with Bill Cosby were very specific. He took me back. I was drugged. I woke up experiencing this. And, like, a very specific modus operandi. Like, serial killers have their little things or whatever. Like, the Trump stuff is just very generic. He hit on me. I didn't like it. And for the record, I'm sure Donald Trump has sexually harassed the shit out of people. I also don't think that Donald Trump is aware that he's done it. He is 70, or almost 70. Like, and if there's that weird gray area, like, I think there's like a lot of 20-year-olds and teenagers, like, it's all sexual harassment. It's like, it's an unwanted sexual advance. What the fuck does that mean? Unwanted sexual advance? Every time you've ever tried to kiss a girl and she said no, did you commit sexual assault? That was you making an unwanted sexual advance towards her. No, sexual assault is when she doesn't want it and you keep going and you overtake her will. Sexual assault, just to play with saying rape, that is the domination of somebody's will. You're overcoming their will. Going for it when they don't want it, but you don't know they don't want it. And then they sit, and they, if they don't say anything, that's not sexual assault, because you don't fucking know. And if they do say something, and then you back off, that's not sexual assault, because you didn't try to overcome their will. Once their will was known to you, you stopped. No, Donald Trump, I'm sure, and again, even with seduction, you know, there's always, people joke, but there's some truth, like, you know, some girls are like, you know, they want that aggressive man, and they want to be able to say no, and pretend like they're, virginal. Which sounds like vagina, but it's not. They went seeing their peer, and then they give in. They go, oh, yeah, he seduced me. Like, the art of seduction itself. What is seduction? Seduction is basically a form of manipulating somebody into having sex with you. That's what it is. It's manipulating, tricking, convincing. Why? Because if you walked up to the person and you said, would you like to have sex? They would say no. You take them out. They each have half a bottle of wine, so nobody's drunk, but you give them flowers and chocolate, and you make them feel special, you massage them a little bit, and then you have sex. Well, you've seduced the person. You've changed their mind about whether they would want to sleep with you. And I know, you know what really sucks? I feel like the last couple, like, 10 minutes have actually been pretty good. When I get rolling on something like that, and I use my brain, everybody listening can tell, man, Mike, you are one really smart dude, and I'll bet you have a big penis and a fast car. Yeah, what can I say?
just playing with what the Lord gave me. Playing with it. I don't know. Maybe I should make this a Sunday show. Was I say I was going to make this a Sunday show? Then I could have the Cubs one on Saturday. And then it's diversifying things. Yeah. Yeah. I think I may have already said this is going to be a Sunday show. Plus, I already have the Cubs one in the queue. So I don't have to, like, edit it or anything like that. So, yeah. So this is a Sunday show. And I'm going to end it now. I think I already tried to end it, like, 5 times. Tomorrow, there'll be another show. Wednesday, I don't know. I mean, we're going to have the normal stuff. Comic conversations. Tales from the Comic Couch. I mean, Daza. I'm always going to fuck it up. Tony. All these guys are just doing outstanding work. Just, goddamn, their podcast blow mine away. Grady will be here. I may have James Swift. Maybe I'll do a show with Swift about the election. I don't know. I feel like then I have to, like, prepare. Like, if I'm just ranting on my own like this, I can just fucking rant on my own. I don't give a shit. And I'm fucking good at it. Like, I did that for a decade. Just fucking ranted and raved all by my lonesome. I like that. If I have a guest on, I have to prepare. Even if it's somebody like Swift, who, you know, I've talked to Swift, he's been around forever. He's been on the show before. I still have to be like, so what did you think about that? But with Grady, it's great because I just make him do the work. And then I take all the credit and glory. Because it's easier to answer questions than to ask them. People asking questions. Actually, you can look really smart asking questions. But that'd be a Socratic method style of questioning. And we're not doing that on the fucking podcast. It'd be weird if I just sat down one day and be like, all right, Grady. And just fucking do this. I should do it and not tell him I'm going to do it. Just fucking grill the shit out of him one day. Just go full on lawyer mode, turn on that part of the brain, use those skills, and trap him in something and be like, you said this, but now you're saying this, so what's your real position? So that's what you really believe? And he'd be like, what the fuck? Why are you being so aggressive about it? And I'd be like, you're out of order! This whole courtroom's out of order! None of you can handle the truth, and the truth is that this podcaster at halfguarded.com, also known as 5-star radio at halfguarded.com, known as the show at halfguarded.com, known as halfguarded hour at halfguarded.com, the truth is that this show is over! Mes amis, au revoir.
Aggressively, we all defend the role we play. Regrettably, times come to send you on your way. We've seen it all, bonfires of trust, flash floods of pain. It doesn't really matter, don't you worry, it'll all work out. No, it doesn't even matter, don't you worry, that ain't what it's all about. We hope.